You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur, your host for Innovation for Alpha, and I'm joined today by Mark Charney, who is a great executive in the healthcare space. Mark and I have known each other for a number of years, met in Tennessee, where Mark is based in Nashville. And Mark's been great to start to catch up and anxious to do some more of these, but welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tobin. Great to be with you today.
Well, thanks. Mark and I are just going to spend a few minutes. I wanted to introduce Mark to the community. And Mark, why don't you maybe just give the high level of your background to start with, and then we'll maybe just touch on a couple of things today for this short segment.
Sure, no problem. So this will probably date me a little bit, but I've been in the healthcare space for over 4 decades, 48 years actually. Cut my teeth early on in the pharma distribution world with a East Coast company that subsequently was bought up by McKesson. Worked a number of years at American Hospital Supply in a number of different capacities, from sales to national accounts, regional sales management. Then I got picked up by Baxter Travonol and their blood products division, Highland. We were at ground zero when AIDS broke out in the early 80s. So that was a very truculent and difficult part of my career. And then really as a result of a number of corporate initiatives, decided I thought I would be best suited in more of an entrepreneurial type space, and found my way to Silicon Valley with a big, large corporation by the name of Raychem. They had a corporate venture group that I got involved with, and the rest is history. Been with companies all either venture backed or private equity backed since really the mid to late 80s, from diagnostic imaging to the radiation oncology space, urology space. I've worked with over a dozen private equity groups and probably a handful of venture capital groups, and leading me up to where I'm at now, which is executive chairman of two companies. I co-founded both of them. One is U.S. Urology Partners, based here in Nashville, and the other is Prologix Healthcare, which is also based here in Nashville.
There's a bunch of different directions we could go, but I think for today, why don't we just start with the most recent, with US Urology, because we, as we talked about before we got on the air, so to speak, there's a lot of change going on in the space, and that's meaning private equity and these practices. Maybe explain a little bit about what you guys built, and then we'll get to some of the things that you're seeing kind of on the ground at this point.
Sure. So really, as a result of embarking in the urology space on the technology side, years ago, decades ago, I was involved with distribution and sales on urologic products, and then morphed into the kidney stone lithotripsy with MedStone International. We took that company public. It was venture-based. I co-founded and spun out of MedStone Endocare, which was a product development company focused in prostate cancer and prostate obstruction. And really, as a result of those experiences and really seeing the proliferation of urologic products and services being developed, I thought there might be an interesting notion that, like we saw early on in anesthesia and radiology, even in orthopedics to some degree, I thought that urology was ripe for consolidation. So in the classic sense, I wrote a business plan, I went to the market. And back in 2010, 2011, it was a little early. In fact, I was really too early, because at that time, urologists were doing really well. And then revisited it again in 13. And one of my contemporaries went and launched a urology company. I kind of got my back up as a result of it, decided to do it myself. And so went back to the private equity market and really determined that there was probably more interest. Timing was better. And so we started working with a number of different private equity firms to look for a sponsorship. And we set out in the market and started talking to urology groups all over the United States. And fast forward, we closed our first transaction in Q4 of 2018. And that was with New Mainstream Capital. And we subsequently added additional groups, primarily East Coast and Southeastern markets. And we're really with the intent of creating a platform where we could create synergies between neurologists, their practices, and private equity. And of course, that's a mouthful and it takes a lot to unpack all that strategy. And so we were really keen on finding a partner that would provide us not only the capital to do the M&A, but backstop us with the necessary capital, the CapEx necessary to build out the platform.
One of the things we talked about is that in order to make these work, and one of the reasons for consolidation is efficiencies. You know, you've got multiple executive teams and, you know, multiple different EMRs and things of that sort. Talk a little bit about a little bit more about that strategy for people who aren't familiar with, you know, why are those practices agreeing to become a part of something bigger?
Yeah, I think there's a number of reasons that, you know, independent physician practices would have an interest to diversify their strategy to and bring in an outside financial partner. One is, first and foremost, it's an opportunity to take some of their chips, some of the risk off the table and essentially recapitalize their investment. So they, you know, can earn pretty substantial, you know, buyout of some portion of their equity, while at the same time rolling additional equity into the new entity with the idea that as this company entity grows, that there'll be a subsequent bite of the proverbial apple to create further wealth for themselves and obviously for their estates. I think number two, as healthcare has become more difficult from an operating perspective, when we look at things like compliance, regulatory reimbursement changes, compression around reimbursement, high labor costs, high supply costs, just technology commitment, the informatics, the analytics side of these businesses is a pretty significant undertaking. The capital required to expand and grow, to recruit and hire new physicians is very expensive. I mean, upwards of seven figures to get a physician under contract, you know, upwards of $3 to $5 to $10 million to capitalize the build out of an ambulatory surgery center or an IMRT, a radiation therapy center, or a diagnostic imaging center or a lab. And so historically, physicians have just basically gone to their local bank, right? They sign personal guarantees. Well, those personal guarantee numbers are becoming quite significant. So by bringing in a partner, they can lay off some of that risk and leverage their investments. So I think that's another means for motivating to do such a venture. And then finally, I would say, as these businesses become more complex and more challenging to operate, it requires a fairly significant investment on the operating team, the management team. So most practices have administrators. They may have a controller. They may outsource finance. They may outsource, you know, coding and revenue cycle. This gives them an opportunity to have all of that turnkey management under one roof. And private equity, that's keen to their business. It's fundamentally keen to their strategy. They want to have a fully built out suite of executives for CEO spots, COO spots, chief information officers. The capital commitments required to underwrite just the IT side of these businesses in multiple millions of dollars. So I would say that those are the primary drivers.
Yep.
And you know, it takes time because it's much of the process is based around relationships and right, building trust and having the reputation to be able to execute on that plan.
So the markets, we're in an interesting spot right now. We've had inflation for a while, interest rates going up, you know, talk of recession. Are we in it? You know, by the time you usually recognize you're in it, you're usually starting to come out of it, but nobody knows. And so what are you seeing? And then you've got reimbursements also going in the wrong direction for many of these areas. And so there's some challenge in the space. How do you see that? And it's not specific, of course, to urology. This is across all private equity, and this is this roll-up space has been a big one. How do you see that, you know, navigating through that the next couple of years? What are some of the key things you're having to think about?
Yeah, all of what you just referenced, you know, supply chain costs are going through the roof. Labor costs, we've seen probably a 20 to 30% increase in labor costs, plus the challenges of seeing a smaller labor force. Nurses are getting out of the market. Physicians are getting burnout. They're getting out of the market. I've seen numerous reports where we may see as much as 30 to 40% reduction of availability. And so there's going to be a massive wake-up call. And I think that wake-up call has already started because we're starting to see it occur in the hospital sector. So with headwinds around reimbursement coming down, labor and supply costs going up, labor costs going up, reimbursement coming down, and demand is not changing. In fact, if anything, demand is really increasing as a result of the pandemic. A lot of patients went untreated, they went undiagnosed, and we're seeing sicker patients. Mm. We're seeing more oncology patients. We're seeing more cardiovascular events than we've probably have ever seen. And so it's going to force everybody, irrespective of the medical specialty, to really rethink their strategies and how they're going to go forward. How are they going to even survive? Forget about being successful.
Right.
And I think people are really starting to wake up to it if they're not already on top of it. And so I don't see this getting better for some time.
There's a long way ahead.
Yeah, so exactly. It's going to be, some people are just not going to make it. Hospitals are going to fold up tent. I see physician practices are going to be left to either they're going to have to sell out to the hospital, to the local medical system. They'll sell out or merge with a large multi-specialty group, or they'll consolidate around a single specialty. The days of remaining independent, I think, are behind us. Now, some will continue. There'll always be an independent market of groups, but I think those numbers are going to get skinnier and skinnier over the next several years. So it's going to create great opportunities for really successful, well-designed operating teams.
Well, you know, that's the truth. Anytime there's adversity, that also creates creates opportunity. You know, if you're looking at it right, I'm tempted to jump into that a little bit, but in the interest of time, I think let's leave it there, because I think in subsequent conversations, we can maybe dive into that a little bit and dissect how, you know, you might think about that. If you're a physician, for example, and you're sitting in the middle of one of these roll-ups, what are the things that you should be thinking about? Or if you're one of the independents and you vehemently want to stay independent, what are the things you can do to maybe hunker down and survive through this? I think you've got some great insights in that area. And we'll explore some other things, but Mark, appreciate you just getting together and getting caught up. We'll have some fun with this. We'll leave it there as a little teaser for everybody.
Sounds great. Appreciate your time and I look forward to the next time.
Thanks, Mark.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.